This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Let's discuss the concept of God in Islam. The best reply that any Muslim can give you regarding the concept of God in Islam, it is in numbers and senses, it is the second largest religion in the world. It has more than 2 billion followers out of the 8 billion population. It has 25% Muslims. But in terms of practice, it is the largest religion. There is no other religion which is followed by more than 1.5 billion. In senses, yes, Christian may be larger. But in practice, Muslims, Islam is the largest religion. Islam is a Semitic religion. And the most sacred scripture is the revelation of Almighty God, the last and final revelation, the glorious Quran, which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The best reply that any Muslim can give you regarding the concept of God in Islam is quote to you Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 1 to 4 from the Quran. Allah says in Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 1 to 4, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say He is Allah one and only. Allahu Samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not nor is He begotten. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's nothing like Him. This is the four-line definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any person says so-and-so candidate is God, if the candidate you believe to be God passes this four-line definition, we Muslims have got no objection in accepting that entity as God. Number one, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say He's Allah one and only. Number two, Allahu samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Number three, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is He begotten. And number four, Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's nothing like Him. This Surah Ikhlas, it is the touchstone of theology. Theo means God, logy means study, theology, study of God. And touchstone, if you want to buy or sell jewelry, you go to a goldsmith. If you want to buy or sell gold jewelry, you go to a goldsmith and want to verify how pure the gold is. So the goldsmith takes the gold jewelry and rubs it against a stone called as touchstone. And depending upon the color, he will tell you whether the gold is a 24 karat gold or a 22 karat gold or an 18 karat gold, or it may not be gold at all because all that glitters is not gold. So Surah Ikhlas is the touchstone of theology. The God you are worshipping, put him in the test of Surah Ikhlas. If he passes, he's a true God, otherwise he's a fake God. For example, there are many human beings who say that Bhagwan Rajneesh is God. Once during question answer time, a Hindu said, "We Hindus never say Bhagwan Rajneesh is God." I never said that the Hindus say Bhagwan Rajneesh is God. I said some people. And there are thousands of people who claim Bhagwan Rajneesh is God. Let us put this Bhagwan Rajneesh to the test of Surah Ikhlas. The first is, Qul huwallahu ahad. Was Bhagwan Rajneesh one and only? We know there are thousands of men who have claimed to be God. He's not the only one. And especially the country where I come from, India, there are thousands of men who claim to be God. He's not the only one. Number two, Allahu Samad. Allah, the absolute and eternal. Was Rajneesh absolute and eternal? We come to know from his autobiography, he said he was suffering from asthma, from diabetes mellitus, from chronic backache. Imagine Almighty God suffering from asthma, diabetes mellitus, chronic backache. Third test, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. We know Bhagwan Rajneesh, he had parents. He was born in Jabalpur. Later on, his own parents become a disciple. In May 1981, he goes to America and takes thousands of Americans for a ride. He goes to the state of Oregon and starts his own village known as Rajneeshpuram. And he takes thousands of Americans for a ride. And it was mentioned he owned more than 50 Rolls Royce. The person who owned the maximum Rolls Royce in the world. Later on, the American government, they arrest him and put him in prison. Rajneesh says that the American government gave me slow poisoning. Imagine Almighty God being slow poisoned. And the last test, Walam yakullahu kufuwan ahad, is so stringent that no one besides the one true God can pass the test. The moment you can compare God to anything in this world, he is not God. Walam yakullahu kufuwan ahad. We know Bhagavan Rajneesh, like all the other human beings, had two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two hands, two legs, big white flowing beard. The moment you can compare God to anything in this world, he is not God. Walam yakullahu kufuwan ahad. Suppose someone says Almighty God is 1,000 times stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. You might have heard the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was given the title Mr. Universe, supposed to be the strongest man in the universe. The moment you can compare God to anyone, whether it be Arnold Schwarzenegger, whether it be King Kong, whether it be Dara Singh, whether it be 1,000 times or whether it be 1,000,000 times, the moment you can compare God to anything in this world, he is not God. Walam yakullahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing like him. Surah Ikhlas is the touchstone of theology. We Muslims, we prefer calling Allah by the Arabic word Allah rather than the English word God. The reason is, a person can play around with the English word God, which you cannot do with the Arabic word Allah. If you add S to God, it becomes gods, plural of God. There's nothing like plural Allah. Kul huwallahu ahad. Say is Allah one and only. If you add D-E-S-S to God, it becomes goddess, meaning a female God. There's nothing like female Allah or male Allah in Islam. Allah is unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no gender. The moment you add father to God, it becomes Godfather. He's my Godfather. He's my guardian. There's nothing like Allah Father in Islam or Allah Abba in Islam. If you add mother to God, it becomes Godmother. There's nothing like Allah Mother or Allah Ami in Islam. If you prefix the tin before God, it becomes tin God, meaning a fake God. There's nothing like tin Allah in Islam. That's the reason we Muslims, we prefer calling Allah by the original Arabic word Allah rather than the English word God. But if someone uses this word God like how I'm doing, when you are speaking to non-Muslims, I've got no objection. But I'd just like to remind you that God is not the appropriate translation of the Arabic word Allah. There are many people who say that God, he can do anything. He can become a human being. So why can't you have a God-man? The reason I say you cannot have a God-man because the qualities of God and man are opposite. A human being has a beginning. God has got no beginning. Human beings have an end. God has no end. You can't have a person who's a God-man having an end and no end at the same time. You can't have a person who has a beginning and no beginning at the same time. It's meaningless. It doesn't make sense. You can either have God or you can have man. You can't have a God-man. It's not possible. Human beings, we require to eat. Allah says in the Quran in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 14, that Allah is the one who feedeth everyone but does not require to be fed. We human beings require sleep and rest. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 255, that the Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha al hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah is the eternal, the self-existence. No slumber can seize him, nor does he require rest. To him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require rest and sleep like how human beings require. So how can you have a God-man together? It is meaningless. You can either have God or you can have man. You can't have a God-man. That's the reason Allah says in the Quran, in several places, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقُلَّ شَيْءٍ كَدِيرٍ. Allah has power over all things. In Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 106. in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 109, in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 284, in Surah Imran chapter number 3 verse number 29, in Surah Nahl chapter number 16 verse number 77, in Surah Fatir chapter number 35 verse number 1, Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. For verily, Allah has power over all things. Allah says in Surah Buruj chapter number 85 verse number 16, Allah is the doer of all he intends. Whatever he intends, he can do. But he does not intend doing ungodly things like becoming a human being, like resting, like sleeping, like eating. Allah clearly says in the Quran that the scriptures are very clear-cut talking about God, yet most of the human beings, they don't follow. Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 18, Summum, Bukmun, Umyun, Formula, Arjun, the deaf, the dumb, the blind, they will never return to the true path. The same message repeated in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 13, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither will they understand. The Bible is telling that the Bible is clearly mentioning there is one God. He has got no images. Don't make images of God. Believe only in him. Yet, people will worship more than one God. They will make two gods. They'll make three gods. They'll make image of God. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 13. Seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither will they understand. Similarly, if you read the Hindu scriptures, in Rigveda, book number 10, hymn number 71, verse number 4. Seeing the words, they see not. Hearing the words, yet they hear not. That means it is clearly mentioned in the scriptures that God is only one. He has got no images. Yet people worship more than one God. Yet people make images of God. You know, some people say, Almighty God, he will do anything. Almighty God will never tell a lie. Because to tell a lie is ungodly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never do injustice. Allah says in Surah Nisa chapter 4, verse number 40, Allah is never unjust in the least degree. Allah will never forget. Allah says in Surah Taha chapter 20, verse 52, Allah never forgets. Allah will never make a mistake. Allah says in Surah Taha chapter 20, verse 52, Allah never makes a mistake. The moment Allah tells a lie, he ceases to be Allah. If Allah makes a mistake, he will cease to be Allah. If Allah forgets, he will cease to be Allah. That's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never tell a lie. He'll never make a mistake. He will never forget. He will never do injustice. Therefore, some people say, Almighty God, he became a human being. He cannot be God and human together. If he became a human being, what is the use of worshiping of a human being like you and me? He has lost his powers. And then later on, it's the same human being became God. It's not possible. A human being cannot become God. Otherwise, you and I also become God. So that's the reason Almighty God will never become a human being. Most of the religions besides Islam, they have a philosophy called as anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means Almighty God taking even a human form. And most of the religions besides Islam, they believe that Almighty God became a human being once or more number of times. And they have a beautiful logic that Almighty God, he's so pure, he's so holy, he does not know how does a human being feel when he's in trouble. Almighty God, so holy, so pure, he does not know how a human being feel when he's sick. He does not know how a human being feel when he's disturbed. So Almighty God came to this earth and became a human being to know what is good or what is bad for the human being. I'm asking a question. If I make a computer, do I have to become a computer to know what is good or what is bad for the computer? No. I don't have to become a computer to know what is good or bad for the computer. If I'm the creator of the computer, I write an instruction manual how to operate the computer. Put on the electricity, press the button, on the computer, don't put it in water, it will get spoiled. Don't drop it from a height, it will get damaged. I write an instruction manual. I don't have to become a computer to know what is good or what is bad for the computer. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to become a human being to know what is good or bad for the. What does he do? He chooses a man amongst men, who we call as messengers. and he communicates with them on a higher level, and he reveals the instruction manual. The instruction manual for the human beings is the glorious Quran. The last and final instruction manual for the human beings is the glorious Quran. The do's and don'ts for the human beings is mentioned in the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the glorious Quran. The glorious Quran is the last and final revelation, the last and final instruction manual for the human beings. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse 110, Qulidullah Abidur Rahman, Ayyama Tadu, Falaw al-Asmaul Husna. Say, call upon him by Allah or by Rahman, by whichever name you call upon him, to him belongs the most beautiful name. You can call Allah by any name, but it should be a name that he himself has given. It should be a beautiful name. And there are no less than 99 different attributes given in the Quran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Hakim, most gracious, most merciful, most wise. Most wise, no less than 99 attributes given in the Quran. And the crowning one is Allah. This message that to Allah belongs the most beautiful name. Besides Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 110, it's also mentioned in Surah Araf, chapter 7, verse number 180, in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 8, and Surah Hashar, chapter number 59, verse number 24, that to Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Now, when you give an attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be a unique attribute and should only point to him and no one else. If it's not a unique attribute, you cannot give the attribute to Allah. Let me give an example. If I want to give a unique attribute to Neil Armstrong, have you heard of Neil Armstrong? The person who was the first man to set foot on the moon. If I say Neil Armstrong was an American, there are 100 million people who are American, nothing unique. If I say Neil Armstrong was an astronaut, there are tens of thousands of human beings who are astronauts, nothing unique. To give a unique attribute, it should be Neil Armstrong was the first man who set foot on the earth. If you reverse it, who is the first man who set foot on the earth? The answer is only one, Neil Armstrong. So when you describe Allah, the attribute should be unique and should not belong to anyone else. You cannot say Allah is the creator of the building. There are many people who can create building. Allah is the creator of the universe. Who is the creator of the universe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khalik, the creator. Ar-Rahman, the merciful. Ar-Rahim, the most gracious. Al-Hakim, the most wise. If you reverse it, who is the creator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the most merciful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the most gracious? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the most wise? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty God should only be one. Some people say, why can't there be multiple gods? You know, one God for cloud, one God for rain, one God for wind, one God for sun. What is the problem? If there would have been many gods like how we have in the mythology of some of the religions, then one god will fight with the other god. One god taking the help of the third god to defeat the fourth god. What is this? It is better to have one god who has all the powers rather than divide the powers into many. You can have only one head, you can't have two heads. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 22, if there were more gods besides one true god, there would have been confusion in the earth and in the world. Allah says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 91, Allah does not beget a son, nor are there other gods besides Allah. If it was so, each god would have taken away what it had created and would have hoarded on the other. So the correct concept is God should only be one. He should be absolute. He should have all absolute powers rather than having multiple gods. That's the reason. If you study the scriptures of most of the major religions in the world, most of them, they say that God is only one. They believe in monotheism. The scriptures say you should worship only one God. But most of the time, they change the scriptures. The other religions have changed the scriptures, or they explain the scripture in the wrong way to the followers. Quran says in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 79, woe to those who write the book with their own hands and then say, this is from Allah, to traffic with it for a miserable price. Woe to those for what they earn. Woe to those for what they write. That is the reason Allah says in the Quran, mashallah, it's much better now. That is the reason Allah says in Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12, verse number 106, most of them do not worship Allah without associating gods with him. That means they may believe in one God, but they associate partners with him. What's the use? So Allah says in Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12, verse number 106, most of them worship not God besides associating partners with him. There are some people who are agnostic, like the Buddhist. Some people are atheist, like the Jain religion. They don't believe in God. For those people who are agnostic, who do not comment whether God is there or not, or those who are atheist, who do not believe in God at all, I have given a talk on, does God exist? And the talk on, is the Quran God's word? If any human being watches this talk of mine, does God exist? Or is the Quran God's word? The talk is for about 2.5 hours. And the question and session for 4 hours, 6.5 hours in Malaysia. Inshallah, he'll be convinced that God exists. I've proved it with scientific proof, with the help of the Quran, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with reason, logic, and science. So anyone who's atheist or agnostic, if he hears my speech, does God exist, or is the Quran God's word, inshallah, if he hears with open mind, he'll believe that there's one God and he should worship him alone. Islam believes in Tawheed. Tawheed does not merely mean believing in one God. Tawheed comes from the Arabic word Wahada, which means to unite, to unify, to consolidate. It means unification of one God. And Tawheed has got three categories. Tawheed al-Rububiyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, and Tawheed al-Ibadah. The first is Tawheed al-Rububiyah, means maintaining the unity of the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rububiyah comes from the Arabic word Rab, meaning sustainer, meaning cherisher. So believing and maintaining that Almighty God is the Rab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the creator, cherisher, and sustainer of everything in this world. Everything is dependent on him. He is independent of anything and everything. That's Tawheed al-Rububiyah. Number two is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, maintaining the unity of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is divided into five rules and conditions. Number one, you should describe Allah only by the way Allah has described him or his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot give your own description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, you should only give names to Allah what Allah has given in the Quran. You cannot give your own name. You cannot say Allah is Ghadib, the angry one. Quran says Allah gets angry, but you can't say Allah is the angry one because Allah did not describe himself like that, didn't name him that way. Number three, you cannot give the description of Allah to anyone else. You cannot say, I know of a man who has no beginning and no end. That's Allah's quality. You cannot give the qualities of his creation to him. You cannot say Allah repented. Allah made a mistake. Allah told a lie. These are qualities of his creation. He does not have to repent. He doesn't make mistakes. So why should he repent? Like how the Bible says, Almighty God repented. In Islam, in the Quran, you'll never find Almighty God repenting or telling a lie or making a mistake or forgetting or dying. And the fifth is that you cannot give the name of Allah to somebody else. You cannot name a human being Ar-Rahman. You can name him Rahman, but not Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is the merciful. You can not call him Al-Hakim, the wise. If you want to say, you have to add Abd in the front of it. Abdul Rahman, the servant of the most merciful. Abdul Hakim, servant of the most wise. And you cannot give any human being Abd of anyone else. You cannot say Abdul Rasul. He is the servant of Rasul. No, it's not allowed. You cannot say Abdul Nabi, the servant of the Nabi. No. You can only be Abd of Allah and no one else. These are the 5 points of Tawhid al-Asma wa Sifat. The third category is Tawhid al-Ibadah. Maintaining the unity of worshipping Allah alone. That means you should worship Allah and no one else. If you believe in the first two, Tawhid al-Rububiyah and Tawhid al-Asma wa Sifat, you give good names to Allah. But along with it, you worship somebody else besides Allah, you break the Tawhid. Besides believing in one Allah, besides giving him the correct attributes and names, besides Tawhid al-Rububiyah, you should also worship him alone and no one else. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verse number 31, talking about the pagans, the Arabs, at the time when the Quran was revealed. When you ask them, who is the one who rules the faith from the heavens and the earth? Who is the one that has power over hearing and seeing? Who is the one who gives life to the dead and dead to the life? Who is the one who controls everything? They say Allah. Then why don't you show piety to him? Why do you worship other gods? Allah repeats the message in Surah Zukhruf, chapter number 43, verse 87. When you ask them who created you, they say Allah. Then why do you worship somebody else? That's the reason Quran says in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 106. Most of the human beings do not worship Allah without associating partners with him. That means they may believe in one Allah. They may give him the good names. But with that one Allah, they also worship other gods. This is shirk. If you break any one of the three categories of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, or Tawheed al-Ibadah, it is called a shirk. Shirk is the biggest sin in Islam. In Imam Ad-Daibi's book, shirk is number one, biggest sin in Islam. Allah says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48, that Allah forgiveth not that he associate partners with him. Anything else, if he pleases, he will forgive. Anything else, if he pleases, he may forgive. But anyone who has committed shirk, he has committed the most heinous sin. Allah repeats the message in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 116, that Allah forgiveth not anyone joining gods with him. Anything else, if he pleases, he may forgive. For anyone who has joined gods with him, he has strayed far away. So shirk is the biggest sin in Islam. And it's mentioned in the Quran in Surah Maida, chapter 5, verse number 72. لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيُّ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. They say, the Christians, they say that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, the son of Mary, is Allah. They are doing kufr, those who say Allah is Jesus, the son of Mary. Quran is saying, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيُّ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. They are doing kufr, they are blaspheming those who say Allah is Jesus, the son of Mary. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيْهِ. But said Jesus, peace be upon him, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيل, O children of Israel, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah, رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ, with my Lord and your Lord. إِنَّمَا يَشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, anyone who associate partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will make Jannat haram for him. وَمَا وَهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِزَالِبِ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ, and fire shall be his dwelling place, and he shall have no helpers in the hereafter. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, إِنَّمَا يَشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, anyone who associate partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will make Jannat haram for him. وَمَا وَهُ النَّارِ وَلَا مِزَالِبِ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ, and fire shall be his dwelling place, and he shall have no helpers in the hereafter. That's the reason I start my talk by quoting a verse from the glorious Quran, from Surah Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 64, which says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, O people of the book, تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, come to common terms, ask between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah, نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that you worship none but Allah. I did not say you believe in only one Allah. I said, Allah, Na'budu illa Allah, that you worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bi shay'in, that you associate not partner with him. Wala yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaban min dunillah, that we erect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. Fain tawallaw, if then they turn back. Faqulu shadu, say bear witness. Bi anna muslimun, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I end my speech, I would like to quote a few verses of the Quran. Allah says in Surah An'am, chapter 6, verse number 108, revile not those who worship God besides Allah. Abuse not those who worship God besides Allah, lest in their ignorance they will abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 27, that if you convert all the trees into pen and the ocean into ink, backed with seven oceans, yet the words of Allah will not be exhausted. I would like to end my speech with the quotation of the Quran from Surah Hajj, chapter number 22, verse number 73, which gives the summary of my talk. E men, listen to this. All those who you worship, this is a parable, listen to this. All those who you worship besides Allah, if all of them gather together, Allah is giving a challenge. All the gods that you worship besides the true God, some believe three gods, some thousand gods, some 33 crores, 330 million gods, all the hundreds of millions of gods you worship, if they gather together to create a fly, they will not be able to do it. And if the fly snatches something, they will not be even able to get it back. Feeble are those who petition. Feeble are those to whom you petition. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.